VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a glorious Game 7 Sunday. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You got me for 3 hours to get you ready for an epic one tonight. Hopefully, that is the case as the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder wrap up the 2025 NBA season with a Game 7, the first one in 9 years. Can't wait to talk to you all day long, get some best bets as well thrown out there. Not to forget, we do have maybe a clinching game in the College World Series later on this afternoon as LSU, what a performance yesterday from Cade Anderson, a 130-pitch complete game shutout as LSU beats Coastal Carolina 1-0 in Game 1 of the College World Series final. A tip of the cap to Jimmy Ott and Matt Grissom yesterday on the program, who both liked the under, never in doubt, a 1-0 victory. That one run did come in the first inning, though, so maybe an early sweat, but ultimately an easy winner there. So a whole lot to get to, of course, here on the program today. A great guest list for you. We'll tell you about that guest list here in just a moment, but if you're new to the program, we do the same thing each and every Saturday and Sunday here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. We get you ready for the day, one way and one way only. It's setting the scene.
Let's dive into the biggest games of the day.
I wasn't sure if you're aware of it, but yes, there is Game 7 of the NBA Finals tonight. The Indiana Pacers, the unlikely underdog, forcing a Game 7, winning Game 6 back in Indianapolis in impressive fashion, 108-91. Where do we sit from a point spread standpoint as we head into this game? Indiana money coming in, now down to 7. This thing opened up at 8.5, so we've seen a steady movement of money. And how about this? Here at Circa, it's actually a juice 7, so maybe inching close to 6.5. Hard to believe, but in Game 2 of this series, in what was believed to be, and actually ended up being correct, a desperation spot for the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Thunder went off as 11.5-point favorites. Now that market has moved 4.5 points. We'll see where it heads towards before game time. But we all know Game 7, whole lot on the line. Who do you trust from a coaching standpoint? This will be Rick Carlisle's 6th career Game 7 he's coached in, 3-2 prior, including a win last year over the New York Knicks on the road at Madison Square Garden. Rick Carlisle, the head coach of the Indiana Pacers.
I love pressure. I mean, as you go on in your competitive life in sport, what you learn is that these moments are rare, and trying to duplicate this kind of situation is something that you look to do in everyday life. And it's not easy to do that. I'm very much looking forward to Game 7. you know, these are the last time we've had one of these in the finals, I think, was 16. I've seen some things about that. And these are special moments for certainly for both teams, but for our league, for the game, you know, for the worldwide interest in the game. And so, you know, it's a time to celebrate.
Game 7, as Rick Carlisle mentioned, the last one that we had was the LeBron James chase down block in the Bay Area as the Cavaliers, remember, came back from 3-1 down in that series, won game number 7, 93-89. And as you take a look here on this graphic, the last 5 Game 7s, all pretty low scoring, right? 2016, 93-89, 2013 as the Heat beat the Spurs, 95-88, 2010 Celtics and Lakers winning 83-79. That game was none too pretty. Spurs knocked off the Pistons in 2005, and the Knicks losing to the Rockets back in 94. If you look at the last 4 games and how they've played to the total, all 4 have gone under, Game 7s in the NBA Finals, that is, by an average of 17.75 points per game. And that's why we've seen movement towards the under, sitting now at 214.5. The opportunity for the Oklahoma City Thunder, thanks to 68 regular season wins, they get to play at home. Their head coach is Mark Daigneault.
It's a privilege you know, it's a privilege for everybody that gets to participate. It's an unbelievable thing and an unbelievable experience. And, you know, both teams have earned the opportunity to experience that. And so we're going to enjoy it. We're going to throw our best punch, go out there and be who we are. But it's a privilege to play in a game seven of the NBA Finals. I mean, no one's skipping that in this whole thing. But, you know, once the ball goes up in the air, the game is still going to come down to the same things.
Well, there's no doubt the Oklahoma City Thunder thrive at home. The road woes are well documented when you look at how they've done from an ATS standpoint. Their lone cover on the road coming very fortunately in game four when they were able to win that game by seven, some late free throws, a pretty bad beat ultimately if you did have the Indiana Pacers plus 6.5 in game four. That was the only road cover we've seen from the Oklahoma City Thunder, as opposed to at home, they've been a juggernaut for the most part this year. Now, did lose game one, of course, blowing that lead with 9 minutes to go, up by 15 against the Pacers earlier in the series, lost game one against the Denver Nuggets, but they have had some blowout victories at home throughout the postseason. SGA, who is the odds-on favorite to win NBA Finals MVP, he's happy to be back in the friendly confines there in OKC.
The crowd is amazing. You're ultimately like in your complete comfort zone. Like the flow of the day doesn't change. You're in your own bed. You have shoot around at your building. You eat your pregame meal from your chef or your whoever. So it's just like, it's very comfortable. The whole flow to the day. And then, the crowds behind you, they give you energy, whether you're up or down or whatever's going on in the night. So it's an advantage. It's fun for sure.
The Oklahoma City net rating at home is 20.7. How about this? OKC playoff net rating at home, 20.7. On the road, negative 6.2, a 26.9 point difference per 100 possessions. And guess what? Because of those 68 wins, they're at home here tonight, and they are sitting there as a 7-point favorite. So early money coming right now in on the Indiana Pacers. Thomas Gable will give us the latest from behind the counter. Let's hear from Tyrese Haliburton. We didn't know if he would play in game six. Ultimately, he did, had one of the more iconic plays of the game with that steal, no-look pass to Pascal Siakam, who finished with a poster dunk on Jalen Williams. Tyrese Haliburton on the opportunity and the possibility of becoming an NBA champion tonight.
I just think as a group, I think the important part about winning a championship is, you know, you got your that's your name in history as a group. You know, I think that's the most important thing. But as far as like thinking about anything like that, I mean, I don't really think about what's to come after the game, you know, success or not. Just fully focused on game seven. And I'm trying to take it just a moment at a time, really enjoying what we're doing and understanding like this is, you know, going to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest game most of us ever playing in our lives.
No doubt about it, and I can't wait to break it down as the show goes on. Game 7 tonight, we've got 3 hours to break it down for you as we will be joined throughout the show by Zachary Cohen. We'll also be joined by Minnesota Timberwolves center. Luka Garza will join the show, Matt Moore, and Wes Reynolds. We couldn't have a show today previewing Game 7 of the Indiana Pacers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder without our guy, Wes Reynolds. All right, real quickly, setting the scene here for the day ahead. How about we hear from Tommy Fleetwood, who now is minus $1.75 to win the Travelers in Hartford. This would be his first ever PGA Tour victory. He shot a 7-under 63 yesterday. And Tommy Fleetwood having some jokes yesterday as he is getting closer to that first tour victory.
Well, I don't know. I'm top of a lot of stats lines for people that haven't won on the PGA Tour. So there's always being number one at something's nice. I'd love to win on the PGA Tour. I think it's like a element of your career that everybody wants, and I of course won it. I haven't this year especially. I don't feel like I've given myself like a back end chance a couple of times this year, but I've not been in contention. So this is like my first real chance. So I'm really excited about that and looking forward to it.
We'll see if Tommy Fleetwood can get his first victory. I'll say this we were running through all the sound prior to the start of the show, and all of us in the production room were like, wow, didn't know Tommy Fleetwood sounded like that. But Tommy Fleetwood, a 63 yesterday, minus $1.75 to win the Travelers. Also today, from a baseball standpoint, we will get to the College World Series, Game 2, after an epic game yesterday, and we'll recap that on the other side of the break. Very good pitching matchup today, as Jacob Morrison will take the hill for Coastal Carolina, Chanticleers, and Anthony Ianson. He will be the starter for LSU. I'll just say this real quickly. We're going under again. Under 8.5 at DraftKings, minus $1.30. That is the best price by far in the market. Right over my shoulder here at Circa, we're at 7.5. So if you have DraftKings, I already bet 8.5 minus $1.25. So an extra 5 cents there. I'm going under again in game two this afternoon out there at Charles Schwab Field. We'll talk to Mike Monaco about that coming up in just a little bit as well. He's scheduled to join us live from Omaha coming up at the bottom of the hour. And also, lastly, from a baseball standpoint, Shohei Ohtani. Start number two against the Washington Nationals this afternoon. We'll see if they stretch it out a little bit more. His first start coming earlier this week, going just one inning. So as for our guests, real quickly, Mike Monaco, as mentioned, he will join us live from Omaha, Nebraska, coming up bottom of the hour. We'll go behind that counter, as we always do, with Thomas Gable from the Borgata in Atlantic City. A plethora of NBA Finals preview for you. Zachary Cohen, T-Wolves center, Luka Garza, Matt Moore, and Wes Reynolds. So a busy show ahead. It is the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. But as we always like to say, before we go all the way forward, we must take a step back. About last night, what a performance on the hill from LSU.
Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on Game 7 Sunday. A whole lot to get to. Thomas Gable, the latest from behind the counter in 30 minutes. Who will the house be cheering for tonight? We have seen some early money come in on the Indiana Pacers. This thing opened up 8.5. It has now drifted down to 7. Here at Circa, it's a juice 7 as well. So if you are looking to back the Oklahoma City Thunder right now at Circa, you can get it at minus 7, minus 105. We'll see what happens as we get closer and closer to tip-off between the Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. A whole lot of guests to talk about Game 7 tonight. Zachary Cohen, he's got his best bets up on VSiN.com. He'll join us in hour number 2. T-Wolf center, Luka Garza, he'll jump on the program. Of course, he was a part of that team that fell to the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Finals. He'll give us his thoughts on what he expects tonight for game number 7. Matt Moore from the Action Network in the final hour. And of course, to round it out, we will talk to Wes Reynolds, as he, I'm no doubt, is fired up. And maybe he's going to stop on by T-Mobile later today here in Vegas to check out Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever as they take on the Las Vegas Aces in the WNBA. A little appetizer prior to Game 7. As we know, Wes, as he talked to us last week here on the program, was live in Indianapolis, went to Games 3 and 4. So a loaded show for you today. You could always tweet me. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. But about last night, as we like to do here on the program, we take a step back because it's early in the morning here for us, and you know, maybe for you as well. You're waking up, you got your Sunday coffee, you got the newspaper, if people still do that, probably not. But what unfolded last night? Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. Game 1 of the College World Series Final, Coastal Carolina and LSU. And as we discussed all throughout the show yesterday, the wind was going to be blowing in. It was going to be blustery hot. And ultimately, that was the case. 1-0 was the final score as LSU gets the victory. They went off as around a minus $1.50 favorite. The total closed at 8. Here at Circa, actually 8.5. And actually, believe it or not, as I look down at the board, there was actually late money that came in on Coastal Carolina. So here at Circa, LSU closed as just a $1.28 favorite. And ultimately, they got the win 1-0. Easy under for anyone who tailed Jimmy Ott and Matt Grissom, as that was their advice for yesterday's contest. But Cade Anderson, a guy that could be the number one pick, and we'll hear from his head coach in just a moment, he was tremendous. Now, actually started off a bit all over the place, a bit erratic for him. I believe he had a season high in walks last night, but he calmed down and ultimately was phenomenal in the victory last night as he went 130 pitches, got the win, and also snapped a 26-game winning streak for Coastal Carolina. Cade Anderson talking last night after the victory and the heat, because it was 97 degrees, and said, "Yeah, it wasn't something that it really affected him because of where they play every single day."
Yeah, I think that's the real benefit in playing in Louisiana, growing up there. This was honestly not nearly as bad as what it was in the Super Regional, and I mean, yeah, it wasn't confirmed. It wasn't even comparable, honestly. And just like Coach Johnson does, he prepares you for every element, and preparation is a key to our success, and it really showed today.
How about this? LSU now 16-0 when they have led at any point when Cade Anderson is pitching. It was his second shutout of the season. He threw 135 pitches back on April 3rd against Oklahoma. 130 pitches last night. And I think most of us were wondering, all right, is he going to go back out there for the ninth inning? And lo and behold, he did indeed go out there for that ninth inning. And he closed it out, a complete game shutout for Cade Anderson. And his two starts so far in the College World Series have been just top-notch. You think back to game one of this College World Series for LSU, a 4-1 win over rival Arkansas. Cade Anderson went seven innings in that one. And then last night, 10 strikeouts for Cade Anderson as he gets the victory. LSU now one win away from another national championship. They won it 2 years ago. Jay Johnson, the head coach of LSU, on his starting pitcher, and also maybe some advice for the Washington Nationals, who own the number one pick in the upcoming MLB draft.
I mean, his next pitch should be for some place in the Washington Nationals organization. It's not close. And they usually draft really well. And he's the best player in the country. You know, I mean, that there's nobody closer to the major leagues than that right now. But I don't think you can quantify it, you know, just, you know, Paul Skenes, Joe Burrow, you know, that type of deal.
Now, I'll just say this. If Jay Johnson has his say and Cade Anderson is the number one overall pick in the MLB draft, well, guess what? You can get Cade Anderson at plus 230 right now at DraftKings to be the number one overall pick. Ethan Holiday, the son of Matt Holiday, brother of Jackson Holiday, is your favorite to go number one to the Washington Nationals in a couple of weeks. Ethan Holiday minus 110, Cade Anderson plus 230. Look, 2 years ago, believe it or not, it was not consensus that Paul Skenes would be the number one overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft, but he went out and was lights out at the College World Series. Ultimately, the Pittsburgh Pirates selected him number one. Dylan Cruz, also from LSU, went number two to the Washington Nationals. I think Pittsburgh is pretty happy about their decision to draft Paul Skenes with the number one overall pick. So we'll see if that ultimately is the way that it unfolds. But Jay Johnson, a little advice to Mike Rizzo and the Washington Nationals. We get game two today, and Mike Monaco will join us coming up bottom of the hour, as it should be another very strong pitching performance as Jacob Morrison gets the start for Coastal Carolina, the Sun Belt Pitcher of the Year, 12-0 record, 2.08 ERA, and Anthony Ianson will go for LSU. Once again, the total right now for today's game is sitting at 8.5 at DraftKings, minus $1.30 to the under. That is the best price in the betting market. I texted with our guy Jimmy Ott yesterday just to confirm that he was going back to the under like he did yesterday, and I believe his response was, "Are you kidding? Is this a trick?" He was giving me a bit of a scolding there. So grab that under 8.5 if it's still out there. And I believe the market may have just moved off of that 8.5. So you're starting to see that under money come in. But that was the first bet that I made late last night was Coastal Carolina under 8.5 at $1.25. Coastal Carolina LSU at under 8.5. It is worth noting this, and Kevin Schnall, the head coach of Coastal Carolina, did make mention that the last time that Coastal Carolina was in the College World Series final in 2016, and they went to ultimately win it, they actually got shut out in game number one by Arizona. An Arizona team who, once again, anybody, was head coached by Jay Johnson. So we've have a little bit of history there. And also, just worth noting when you look at this, this was from 11.7 on Twitter, 11.7 College Baseball. Five of the last nine College World Series champions have gone on to lose game one of the championship series. And Tennessee did it just a year ago. Mississippi State in 2021. Vanderbilt in 2019. Oregon State in 2018. Coastal Carolina in 2016. So five of the last nine College World Series champions have actually lost game one of that championship series. So more on the College World Series coming up. Bottom of the hour, Mike Monaco live from the College World Series will join us to give us his thoughts on what to expect today, which should be another very good pitching matchup. And what's the wind like? We got to ask our guy, Mike Monaco, what is the wind like out there in Omaha? Also about last night, speaking of the Washington Nationals, they were the big dog that won last night. Two nights ago, we talked about the Baltimore Orioles as around a plus 250 dog beating the New York Yankees. That did not happen yesterday, as the Yankees had, what, a no-hitter, I believe, going into the eighth inning. And ultimately, the Yankees won easily 9-0 over the Orioles. But the Washington Nationals, how about this? A 7-3 win last night, and James Wood hit an absolute tape measure bomb in the first inning, as the Nationals were the biggest dog yesterday to come on home as they go to Chavez Ravine and they beat the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Washington Nationals, isn't this funny? The Washington Nationals earlier this week were in the midst of an 11-game losing streak. They had lost three straight games against the Rockies, had to win a fourth game in extra innings via a walk-off from James Wood to avoid a four-game sweep against the Rockies. And then last night, they go out and beat the Dodgers 7-3 at Chavez Ravine. Because guess what, people? Baseball does not make sense. So that happened late last night. All right, a whole lot to get to, of course. More College World Series chatter coming up. Bottom of the hour, Mike Monaco live from Omaha, Nebraska. He'll give us his thoughts on the pitching matchup we have in store for you guys today. We'll go behind the counter in 20 minutes. Who will the house be cheering for with Oklahoma City and Indiana heading into Game 7? Is the public tantalized by the Indiana Pacers catching those points? Right now, the number sitting at 7. But folks, remember, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today and make sure you use the code VSIN. VSIN and earn up to 200 in profit cash over your first month. Yes, it is a Game 7 Sunday, but we also could have a national champion crowned before tip-off in Oklahoma City. We head to Omaha next, right here on the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on a Game 7 Sunday, as we got a whole lot of coverage for you getting ready for Indiana and Oklahoma City. The latest from behind the counter coming up in 15 minutes from Thomas Gable. We'll check in with Luka Garza, who faced the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Finals. He'll join us in hour number two. But a great lead-in to tonight's game on ABC will be game two of the College World Series final. LSU getting the victory last night, 1-0 over Coastal Carolina. And Coastal will try to even things up, try to be like Coastal in 2016. Lose game one, get shut out by Arizona, and then come back and win the College World Series. And before we get to our guest, Mike Monaco, I want to play you this clip. This was from earlier this week when they had media availability. And there's a Q&A with Coastal players, and the first one to answer is tonight's starting pitcher, Jacob Morrison. Take a listen.
Your thoughts on LSU, what do you admire just as student athletes and fans of baseball? What do you like about the Tigers?
Not a whole lot.
That was Jacob Morrison who had that answer, and he will be the starter this afternoon for Coastal Carolina. And a gentleman who will help you get ready for that game on ABC is Mike Monaco, who's done an amazing job doing play-by-play out there in Omaha. It'll be he, Ben McDonald, and Jackie Bradley Jr. for pregame coverage starting at 2 p.m. Eastern time out there in Omaha. Mike, I'm laughing, and I'm sure you guys will talk about it. The mantra of Coastal Carolina really since the regionals has been, we're not Cinderella. And that was proven out all throughout the bracket one portion of the College World Series out there in Omaha. They lose 1-0 last night. But I love the fact that it's going to be Jacob Morrison this afternoon. And he's the one who basically said, I don't care about LSU. I care about Coastal Carolina.
Yeah. And Tim, and thanks for having me, of course. I love it from Jacob Morrison. Like, that's how he should answer the question, you know? Like, yeah, I mean, you're playing against LSU. There's certainly some mutual respect, but they are no Cinderella. In no way is this fluky. They've shown that, like you said, through their bracket play here. I think they showed it last night, too. Like, they had chances to score off Cade Anderson. And yes, he was awesome, but they worked 5 walks. They got hit 5 pitches twice. Like, they had traffic, especially in that third inning. And they're throwing Jacob Morrison, who I don't know where he's going to get drafted, but I feel like it's going to be in the first 3 rounds of the draft. It's a big athletic body at 6'8". So yeah, he should feel confident. And I love their whole demeanor. Like, they are legitimately one of the 2-3 best teams in the country. That's why they're here. And it is no fluke at all.
You know, Mike, when you think back, and I know Kevin Schnall is technically a first-year head coach at Coastal, but he's been with that program forever. And he brought up last night, 2016, Coastal loses game 1, ironically enough, to Arizona, coached by Jay Johnson, and then they turn around and win the next 2 games. And we just saw it last year. Tennessee lost game 1 of the final, and they went on to win the national championship. So listening to the Coastal Carolina players last night, Mike, after the 1-0 loss, what was their demeanor after that loss?
Yeah, I don't think too fazed by it. I mean, obviously, it's not the position you want to be in. And obviously, you rue some of the missed opportunities, you know, the lack of the big hit with a runner in scoring position. But Caden Bodine, I found it interesting. He was sitting next to Cam Flukey, the starter, at the podium. And Flukey's been awesome. He was really good last night. And Bodine said, we have our ace going tomorrow. That's how they view Jacob Morrison. He was the Sun Belt pitcher of the year. And what a luxury to throw your ace in game 2 and to keep him on schedule. And you know what? I think the logic makes a lot of sense. Like, you knew you were going up against Cade Anderson. And so, all right, if you're going to go into a battle in game 1, if you do unfortunately lose it, you get to throw Jacob Morrison, your best pitcher, in game 2. And I do think they have the edge in terms of starting pitcher in this game. That's no disrespect to Anthony Ianson, who's had a great season. He's a very good MLB draft prospect in his own right. But Jacob Morrison, I thought, was that impressive in his first start here last Sunday against Oregon State.
Mike Monaco joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. It'll be Mike Monaco, Ben McDonald, and Jackie Bradley Jr. giving you the pregame coverage leading into first pitch in Omaha. Scheduled for around 2:30 Eastern time. Mike will start his coverage at 2 p.m. Eastern on ABC. You mentioned Anthony Ianson. He'll get the start for LSU today. You know, what a performance we saw last night from LSU on the Hill. And now they get the luxury of turning to from Cade Anderson to a guy in Anthony Ianson who may not be the number 1 overall pick like Cade Anderson could potentially be, but what are we going to see from Anthony Ianson this afternoon on the Hill?
Yeah, I mean, what, these are 2 of the top 3 pitchers, I want to say, in the country in strikeouts, and that's pretty rare that has happened over time, let's say the last 30 years, with 2 guys like that anchoring a rotation that good in the context of the country. I'm curious to see, though, to answer your question, Tim, on what we get from Anthony Ianson in this one. He wasn't great in the Super Regional against West Virginia. And then through no fault of his own, he just had an uneven setup and an uneven week because he pitched on Monday against UCLA, because that game got suspended due to weather. And it hadn't gone great to that point before the suspension. It was 3 runs in 3 innings, 4 hits. So I think we're going to see how it goes. And that's coming off giving up a couple of home runs in that Super Regional start. So I'm very curious to see what it looks like. The fastball has been hit a little bit this year, but the secondary stuff has been really good. His breaking ball mix, his splitter, it has gotten so much swing and miss. So I think that's worth watching. It's a really disciplined Coastal Carolina lineup. So I want to see how many strikes and how good the command is from Anthony Iamson.
So what is the basically the method to this victory? Because I actually want to get to the weather. Yesterday, you know, we heard your colleague Carl Ravitch reference it a bunch. They showed the, you know, the flags gusting. You were talking to me off air, you know, around 40 mile an hour gusts yesterday. So look, the ball was not flying out of the ballpark. So what are we looking at from weather today? Is it going to be similar, Mike? And also, if it is going to be windy again, what is the method to both of these teams' victory this afternoon?
Yeah, it is going to be windy again. Yesterday we had gusts up to 42 miles an hour. Today it's showing gusts up to 37 miles an hour. It was interesting. The wind kind of changed course during the game yesterday. And around the third inning, it flipped a little bit and was swirling a little bit more than it was just coming straight in from all directions. The path to victory for both teams, I think that favors Coastal Carolina a little bit. And I know that might be odd to say after they get shut out yesterday, but they're not a team that has relied on the home run. And look, they haven't hit a home run in this event yet, yet they still got here, and yet they still won 26 games in a row. They get on base. They try to drive up pitch counts. Their goal is at least 15 pitches an inning from a starting pitcher. I mean, we saw that in the first inning against Cade Anderson yesterday. So I think they can absolutely be productive without the home run, with the wind blowing in like that, if that is indeed the direction it's going. For LSU, I think it's similar. I mean, they've been a little bit more West Coast-ish with their offense, you know, the way it was in the college game early in previous stops and Jay Johnson's coaching career. It's not as much power as 2 years ago. There's still plenty of power. Steven Milam hits a home run on any other day weather-wise yesterday. But I do think there's certainly a path to scoring runs in this game for both teams. But I think if the weather, you know, favors one team, it's probably the Coastal offense because they have been predicated less on the long ball.
You know, Mike, both of these teams well-rested heading into last night. You sometimes see it's a, you know, especially in the regionals, a battle of attrition, right? Who's got enough arms? Both these teams are well-rested and no one really needed the bullpen last night. One pitcher for Coastal, zero for LSU. If we get into the pens, who has the advantage coming out of the bullpen?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. You know, I think both teams have a real good stable of arms. Riley Eichhoff for Coastal Carolina has been their game three starter. But shoot, like if you got to win a game today and he's your best chance, and if you got to cover a lot of length, you wouldn't expect with Jacob Morrison, but maybe that's a guy that you can turn to. Yeah, you mentioned Dominic Parbone went two innings to finish the game yesterday for Coastal. Ryan Lynch is the other tandem of their two-headed monster at the back end of the bullpen. So he's a go. They haven't had to go too deep into the stable of arms because they've been on such a roll, because they ran through their bracket undefeated. Flip side for LSU, you know, Chase Shore is a guy who gets up, it feels like every game right now. He's up to, what, 102 miles an hour. Cason Evans is the other really interesting one. You know, he kind of came in and finished off game two after the restart with the weather on Tuesday. He's a guy that can do a lot for you. Zach Cowan was really good in game three. I don't know if you'd see him in relief today. You got Cooper Williams out there. I mean, there's a lot of options. So I think there's plenty of different paths it could go for both teams.
Should be fun today. Mike Monaco will have the pregame show for you guys. Ben McDonald and Jackie Bradley Jr. will be his analysts leading into play-by-play at 2:30 Eastern on ABC. Mike, big fan of your work, man. Appreciate it.
Tim, feeling is mutual. Thanks for having me, man.
There he is, Mike Monaco. By the way, I was going to give him some love. His call of the no-hitter was phenomenal. Gage Wood, he was on the play-by-play of 19 strikeouts and the no-hitter. Hey, folks, just a reminder, if you want to bet smarter this football season, it starts with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, you can grab our football special at the early bird rate of $175, giving you full access now through the Super Bowl. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe. All right, we'll go behind the counter. We'll do that next with Thomas Gable from the Borgata. It's the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Been rolling here on a Game 7 Sunday. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Pacers and Thunder. Right now, the Pacers, a 7-point underdog total sitting around 214.5. Had some great analysis just a moment ago from Mike Monaco on the College World Series, as we have seen some under money come into the betting market. First bet I made, under 8.5. That was courtesy of our guy Jimmy Ott, who had the winner yesterday along with Matt Grissom. And both Grissom and Jimmy Ott both said they think Coastal's pretty live today, and the odds would tell you so. It's a pretty much a pick'em between Coastal Carolina and LSU as Jacob Morrison gets the start for Coastal Carolina, their ace on the hill this afternoon. But the big one we're all waiting for, Thunder and Pacers. And you want to know, where's that money coming in? Who will the books be cheering for? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go behind the counter.
Where are the lines changing, and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
And we do that every Sunday here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. We head out to the East Coast. We welcome in our friend Thomas Gable from the Borgata, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. And Thomas, before we get into tonight, how would you sum up the first six games of the NBA Finals? Mixed results? Has it been a good result for you guys? How has it played out so far for you guys behind the counter?
I'd say mixed results overall. You know, there's been obviously some zigzag theory being bad, and you know, the one thing I'll say, you know, game six was obviously a good result for us. A lot of people just assumed the Thunder were going to put it away there in Indiana, and that was going to be it. And obviously Pacers completely came out and just flipped the script. Game was over at halftime. So we're happy that there's a game seven tonight. We expect a very large handle on this game, with it being a standalone spot here in game seven. Everybody's going to be interested in betting this, and you're already seeing some line movement, and you know, it's been moving towards Indiana early, and we're at 6.5. We've been at 6.5 all morning, and I know some places 7, and but it's so definitely there's some Pacers money coming in here on the spread. Now, I will say, as soon as we opened the line for this game after game six concluded, and not that it was respected money, but there's just a lot of Thunder money line action coming in. Not people who weren't necessarily price sensitive. They just were saying, all right, there's no way Thunder are going to lose two in a row here, especially with them going back home here tonight. So it's interesting because the money here is coming in on Indiana on the spread, but you know, you have a plenty of action here on the Thunder money line as well. You know, laying around $3 basically out there in the market, but people are doing it. So the total has it's been right around 215, currently 214.5. You know, you can find as well. So game seven, as we know, they're traditionally played a little bit tighter. Obviously, nerves come into it, and maybe the game flow isn't quite as up and down the court as previous games, and you're seeing a little bit more half-court sets. And so total, obviously, is lower than what we have seen in previous games, but right now sitting around 215 there. And you know, the turnovers, I think the turnovers are going to be the big difference here in this one. When Indiana hasn't turned the ball over, and you know, they've obviously been in these games and have been able to win three of them. But I think there's a big difference when OKC plays at home. They obviously are a young team, so they've had their issues on the road throughout the playoffs. So coming home here, I think, is a big deal for them. And defensively, they put up a much better effort, and they can turn the ball over a lot more, it seems, at home as well. So Indiana is going to need to play a clean game here, and you know, hope that the OKC youth and inexperience certainly plays a role for them tonight for the Pacers to really give themselves a shot.
Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director from the Borgata, giving us the latest from behind the counter. Thomas, take us into the mind of an odds maker for this total, because game one opened up at 230. I want to say closed at 230. We've seen a steady movement towards the under from a total standpoint. Game six goes off at around 222 and a half market wide. Game stays under. When you post that number for game seven, how much do you guys put into the tax of a game seven, knowing that we've seen game sevens historically, as you alluded to, play tight and play under?
Yeah, quite a bit, Tim. And that's exactly right. And, we know that that's the way that they've been played traditionally. And obviously the bettors are aware of that as well. So, I mean, when you're putting the opening number up, it's just that it's the opening number and you're going to let the market take it from there. And it really hasn't moved too much. And I figured it was going to close right around 215. We'll see if that is the case. But I think that's really just the way that people are going to be looking at this. And, we saw, a horrific effort on offense from OKC in game six there. Mm-hmm. That was probably one of the worst offensive outputs of the year. But coming back here home, I think defensive effort's going to be there for OKC tonight. Now, the bench has also been a big deal here in this series. The Indiana bench has certainly been the advantage here for Pacers, and we'll see if that continues here tonight. But in terms of the total, yeah, I mean, it's going to really come down to pace and just the fact that I think defensively both these teams are going to be giving it their best effort and trying to limit mistakes. And typically when you're trying to limit mistakes, that leads to, more half court sets. You're not necessarily going to be trying to get out in transition as much as we previously saw. We know the Pacers, it certainly favors them and they'd love to do that, but I'm not quite sure we're going to be able to see that here in a game seven.
So at the end of the day, Thomas, as we are still a ways away, and most of your customers, I imagine, haven't even bet this game yet, right? It's not going to tip off till 8 o'clock Eastern. So people are going to get to the books and they're going to fire away this afternoon, I'm sure. But as you look into your crystal ball, who do you think you'll ultimately be cheering for? And do you think you'll be needing the over or the under tonight?
I think ultimately we're probably, I think a Pacers outright win is certainly going to be the best result for us. Okay. And that takes into account our futures as well. We don't lose to the Thunder in our futures. We will settle as a winner in that as well. But Pacers are certainly going to be a better result. In terms of the total, I think we're probably going to need the under here. That seems to be the way that it's trending. And in terms of I think you also have to look at the MVP market. Some people are kind of taking a look at this and maybe instead of laying around $3 for the Thunder, they're looking at SGA's MVP price. You're getting a little bit of a discount there. We have a price right now minus 235. So getting a little bit of discount if you think the Thunder are going to do this tonight rather than laying $3, you can lay the 235 on SGA. I think Williams would obviously have to have a huge game for SGA not to get it and in a Thunder win. The same way here with the Pacers money line. More than likely Haliburton's not going to be that guy just because of the fact that he did have that one game where he didn't have any field goals. Siakam has certainly been the better player throughout this series. So if the Pacers can pull this out, you're getting if you bet Siakam to win MVP because you think the Pacers are going to win this tonight, again, you're getting a little bit better of a price there, plus 325 on Siakam to win MVP than you would if you were just betting the Pacers money line.
Thomas, before we let you run, Thomas Gable joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. Indiana Pacers, not the only Indiana team in action today. In my backyard, it'll be Fever and Aces. Caitlin Clark still bringing in a whole lot of handle for you guys. We got about 45 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, Clark does bring in recreational money. The WNBA still overall is a very illiquid market. It's not necessarily what it was, before Clark got into the league. I think there is more recreational money that has come in with her. And certainly on the Fever games itself, you see that. But
Overall, still this the WNBA, it's still I would say it's probably close to 85% sharp market. It's it's just not a very liquid market.
Anything
still
sharp on this game today?
Not so much that has come in yet on the Fever and Aces. Okay. No.
Thomas, always appreciate the insight. Enjoy the day.
All right, thanks, Tim.
There he is, Thomas Gable, giving us the latest from behind the counter. Hey, folks, just a reminder, no better way to start the day than with the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast, your first look at the day's betting lines. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts.